Blog Talk Radio.
Johnny boy.
Hey, Joanne.
Right,
I think we have. Jackie's on the line.
I thought you were talking to Johnny. So, I mean, to Jackie. Yeah, that's great. So,
yeah,
well, before we get started, let's just say welcome everybody to Applause Radio Show, and we're going to try and keep things as normal as possible. And what is normal, we don't know, but no one else but Jackie, the Joke Man, Martling, can pick us up than anybody else that I know. The guy is amazing. I just hope he's wearing clothes tonight. We'll get to that. But before we start, I'd like to say thank you to the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kitnesville, Pennsylvania, and KWV Wines in South Africa. Joining us tonight is Jackie Jokeman Martling and Mr. Jimmy Clanton at 8:30. So welcome to the show. Jackie, how are you?
I am doing good. I got my hands full here. There's a lot going on with me and my family and everything. It's not easy to hear you guys.
Oh, no, why?
But I will do my best. Everything is, of course, very, very crazy and very, very wacky. Everybody's gigs are canceled and everything. So
right.
I've been tweeting out jokes like crazy and emailing jokes like crazy and putting them, you know, on Facebook and doing silly stuff, just trying to keep my spirits up and other people's spirits up, you know.
Yes, yes. That's why I'm so happy you're joining us tonight. But I want to make sure you have clothes on right now. You have clothes on, right?
Listen, I'm 1,000 years old. I don't know what books you're reading. Jesus
Christ. You know, when we were talking, you know, the both of us weren't sure if we were wearing clothes or not. So, you know.
Well, I usually have clothes on because I don't want to scare the neighbors, you know.
Yeah, me too. I can't give this shit away. Please, Jack, you know? So anyway. Well, Liz, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I guess, you know. I just want to, you know, my main thing is I just wanted to say hello and just pass the message that everybody really, you know, really, really should be doing everything they can to make this thing halt. I hope you're telling all your people to stay inside and not do anything to spread anything.
Right.
I tell everybody, listen, if you like jokes and you want to get jokes in your email to keep yourself going, that you just to email me jokeland, jokeland at AOL.com. I've been getting a real lot of emails from people and sending them back jokes, and that's
right.
The best way to do it. You know, there's nothing really jokeable. You know, like everything is too trivial to fool around about because everything is way, way too crazy. You
right.
know, I mean, wife jokes are still funny and poop jokes are still funny, but they're so dwarfed by this whole monstrous thing. You know,
right.
So,
right.
You know, this is not, you know, it's like the movie Airplane. You picked a fine day to quit doing lewds. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
I'd be glad to talk to you on a happier note, on a happier time. You know, I mean, we've been very lucky. It hasn't really hit my family as yet, or you know, nobody that I really know well. But
right.
But that's coming. It's coming like a tsunami. So,
oh, no,
you know, you got to be ready for it, you know.
Right. Well, right. You know, don't panic. Be ready. Do what they say. stay inside. The more we stay inside, the less it'll spread, and the sooner it goes away. End of story. That's it. And just take care of yourself, and we'll be fine. And like Jackie said, if you go to his website, to jokeland.com, he'll send you a joke every day.
Well,
and
if you email me, my email is the same as my website. My email is jokeland@AOL.com. So
right,
just
right.
Send, you know, anybody's listening to this, send me an email. I'll send you some very, very filthy, very, very funny jokes, you know. And it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. And also, I tweet jokes every day at 4:20 p.m. International Marijuana Time. And
let me ask you that, if the 4:20 was related to the marijuana time.
Of course. And it's just goofy, you know.
Right. So now let's get into the interview. We already gave our PSA. Let's get into the interview. So now, Jack. You started in music, actually, right? You had a band going. What kind of music were you guys playing at the time?
I played music in high school and played, you know, I learned to play guitar in high school so I could, you know, as an entree to meeting girls, of course, and then kept playing guitar in college and then kept playing because I didn't want to get a job. And then I realized I wasn't any good, so I started telling jokes on stage, and and I got very, very lucky. It's that simple.
Right.
You know, I didn't go on stage until I was like 30 years old telling jokes, you know,
you had a huge encyclopedia to go on with. Your mind was full. You had so many jokes.
They were spilling out of me, you know, long before I ever did it on stage, you know. It was completely filled up, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if most people know, but the way you wound up with Howard was you sent him some of your jokes on your albums, and you were a guest, actually, and then you became the head writer. How the hell does that happen? I mean, that's a miracle in itself.
Yeah, you know, that was a whole long thing. That's all explained in my book. I finally put out my autobiography, the whole thing about going in there, and I worked there one day a week for free for 3 years, and slowly ingratiated myself into the whole process. And then when we went to mornings in 1986, I became a head writer, and we went to the moon, and it was incredible, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Nice ride. Now, are you and Howard still friends? Yes, right?
And not really, you know, you can't really call somebody a friend if you never talk to them and never see them. But, you know, there's no animosity. There's just no relationship. That's all, you know.
I mean, because your problem wasn't with Howard. It was with the contract. It wasn't with Howard. I mean, you know.
No, but it was all the same, you know. I mean, if he wanted me still there, I would have still been there. You know, I asked for more money. That's all. I asked my boss for more money. He said no, that's all. It's that simple.
Right. Well, you're doing extremely well. I mean, you're still out performing as much as possible. I mean, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, I just got this role in this great movie called Almost Made, and we're about to make this movie. And of course, you know, everybody looks at everything from purely selfish. You know, of course, I figure the coronavirus came just to keep me from getting my Academy Award, you know. I'm making a mob movie with all my old friends from all these Jersey Italians, that are Paul Borghese and all these people that I've been friends with for like decades and decades. We're making this great movie that's going to be cut up and put on the web in a bunch of different ways, and maybe on Quibi, and which is the brand new thing. I don't know if you know about it. It's Quibi, and it's called Quibi because it's quick bites, and it's a really fun script, and I'm playing a dopey driveway car mobster, and it's really fun. But now we got the project on hold, and they're also doing the story of my life. They're doing the documentary called Joke Man, and after all these years, it's finally done. And now everything's on hold, you know. So we're gonna be itching to go when it's time, you know.
Right. Unfortunately, life
Hey, Jackie,
can't
this is John. Did you write the mob story? Did you?
No. I had nothing
to
do with it. They just asked me to. They just asked me to be in it, and they're old friends. They're, you know, that's the writer is an old friend, but Paul Borghese and a bunch of the guys at Louis Venaria that was, you know, those guys were both in the Irishman movie, you know, and
wow.
I've known them for a long time. And and it's fun, you know.
Yeah. Now,
is there going to be some comedy in the movie?
Well, yeah, no, it's goofy, you know. You know, it's,
oh,
it's going to be, you know, a little. It's a light thing, you know, a spoof, you know.
Mm. Well,
that's
now
it.
the movie they're doing about you, that's based off of your book, The Joke Man, right?
No, the documentary is just about my life. It's called Joke Man, but that's what my book is about. It's, you know,
right.
My book is my autobiography, so it's basically the same horse crap about the same guy, you know.
Yeah. Now Artie Lang wrote the foreword on that. Are you still tight with Artie?
He's a good guy. He's a very good friend. You know, it's funny.
How's he doing?
He's doing really, really well.
Yeah,
he wrote the foreword to my book, and then he was supposed to get interviewed for my documentary, but then he screwed up and wound up, you know, in the hospital and in rehab.
Yeah. That's why
but
I asked.
But it's taken so damn long for my documentary to come out that he got clean and he's out of rehab and he's like new and he got interviewed for my documentary and so he's in it. And he's doing great. He's been clean for a long time and he's doing all his shows and, you know, I'm sure he's on hold like the rest of us right now, you know.
Right. Well, in 79, you created the Dirty Joke line. Remember in the 70s, there was all these telephone lines you could call in. Is that's still up and running, right?
516-922-WINE. It's been going for over 40 years. People can't believe it.
Amazing, amazing.
I mean, if you dial it right now, boom, there it is. Filthy jokes.
Yep, cool.
Me being
cool.
Stupid, being crazy, not advertising any gigs because I don't have a gig, just advertising the documentary and my book. And everything is, you know, it's going wacky. You know, the tweets and the Twitter and the Facebooks, all this stuff. Nobody's got anything to do, so they're going nuts, you know.
I know. I'm part of that, too. I've been Facebooking. I've been home from work the last 3 days, and I've just been Facebooking like crazy. Not a good thing for me. But what was I going to say? You still have the Sirius show as well? No.
The Sirius show ended quite a while back. You know, I go on... you know, I do radio shows and podcasts. You know, I go on with Gilbert and I go on with David Feldman and John Fugelsang. I go on with Mark Simone in the morning. I go on with John Jim Kerr. You know, I jump around. I do a lot of stuff to promote my stuff, but not so much now because there's nothing to promote. You know.
Right. Now, your jokes, obviously, they go with the times, right? I mean, you know, everything's so technical nowadays. A lot of your jokes have to do with a lot of the technical.
No, my jokes are sex and poop and sex and poop. And marriage and relationships and the stupidity of marriage and the stupidity of relationships and the fun of romance and... And then you mix up the romance and the poop, and then you start really having fun. That's all. It's that simple.
Well, if any couples can make it through having to be quarantined together for 3 months or whatever it's supposed to be, then they're meant to be together. That's for
sure.
Well,
you tell my poor girlfriend that. She's ready to hit me with a hatchet.
And it's only been 2 weeks. You're screwed, Jack.
It's 2 weeks going on 4 years.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen. I would love to talk to you when it's more crazy and it's more of a joke telling a light type atmosphere. But you know, I run the risk of looking trivial if I start trying to be silly and get crazy. So
okay.
So
no,
let's reschedule this for when the world comes up for air. Which, according to our moron in charge, that'll be in a week, but it's going to be more like 2 months. But then I'll be glad to talk to you.
Well, in the meantime, I'm going to come up with a joke to stump you. I hope I get something good. So you're going to keep in touch with me and we'll work something out.
You send that to me anytime. In fact, you know, I feel bad that I'm not telling you guys a bunch of stupid jokes. You know what you do? Tell your people, email me, jokeland@AOL.com. Anybody that emails me a joke or the setup of a joke, I promise you I will respond. I will tell you the answer. If I don't know the answer, I'll send you a prize. If anybody that writes to me, anybody that emails me, I'll put them on my mailing list anyway. They'll get a couple of pages of great jokes, and they'll be glad they did. So anybody that's listening right now, you will be rewarded. You will get jokes. Just send me an email, jokeland@AOL.com. And I answer all my, you know, I like to tell people that I have somebody who answers my emails for me, except that person is me. You know, times are smaller. Times are smaller than they were. But listen, I wish you very good luck with your show. And,
thank you.
Please call me back when the smoke clears, so to speak.
Hang in there. It's going to be okay, Jack.
Yo, I ain't going anywhere. Jesus Christ, you can't kill me.
I know, but, you know, this is the time when we need to be ourselves and normal so that people know that it's okay, you know, things are going to be okay. So, you know, you can be yourself. It's cool, you know. It's
all right.
It's,
all right, Joe, you be a good girl. Keep being my
wife. We'll talk to you soon. Take care,
Jackie. Take care, Jackie.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, I think Jackie might be a little bit panicked, but I don't know. I mean, yes, we should be concerned, and I do understand what he means. He doesn't want to make light of the situation, but, you know, we don't have to joke about what's going on. He's got a million and one jokes, probably more than that he could have shared with us, but he's not up for it, so it's all cool. But he'll be back. Jackie will be back. But, you know, Jimmy Clanton will be up next. He'll be calling us shortly. But in the meantime, our PSA is basically what everybody else is saying. Stay home so that you don't spread it. And the more we don't spread it, the sooner it goes away. And that's it. I mean, myself, I had a weird situation. John, I know you're insanely busy and you probably haven't seen Facebook much, but I had a doctor's appointment on Monday for my back, for my surgeries, follow-up. And before I could go, I had to sit in the parking lot. I had to call them and tell them I was there. And then they would call me back and tell me when I could come in. I said, okay, that's cool. I understand, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, they don't want anybody getting sick, whatever, you know. Excuse me. So I get the call. I go in. Standing by the door is a nurse. She's all covered in the gear. And before you could go in, you have to get your temperature taken. Mind you, I was just at the hospital earlier that morning, and my temperature was perfect, okay? And I go there. They take my temperature, and I'm a 99.4. Anything over 99, they refuse to see any patients. I said, why? I said, that's not really a temperature. I mean, do you think so, John? I mean, at 100, then I get concerned. You know what I mean?
Well, all
but
I can say
anyway,
is you're always hot, Joanne, so
right.
The reason.
So that's that. So they told me I have a temperature of 99.4. They give me a note. They said I can't go to the doctor. I can't go back to work until the fever is 98.6. So I said, oh, shit, I got to call work now and tell them that I have a problem because everybody, you know, is a nervous wreck. So I called work and I said I got this note saying that they prefer I stay home. And basically the temperature's been hovering, trying to get back to 98.6. I cannot return back to work until I am a perfect 98.6. So it has not gone over 99.4, and it just has not reached 98.6. But other than that, I'm fine. I'm not worried. I'm considered an essential employee, which I'm not happy about because I never wanted to be a hero, and I don't want to be a hero. So, John, we have someone on the line.
I think we do. Let's see who this is.
Yeah, let's see who's
hey, caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? I want to speak to Jackie. How you doing, Joanne?
Oh, hey, hon. Listen, Jackie unfortunately had to leave us early. He didn't want to really make light of what's going on, and so he's gonna come back. He's gonna come back and join us at another time. You're not calling to say Baba Booey, are you?
Nah, that's an old joke.
Well, Jackie's doing well. He said. For anybody who's interested, of course, can go to jokeland@AOL.com, sign up, and he will send you a joke every day at 4:20 p.m., and we all know what 4:20 relates to. And also, he's still doing Stump the Joke, so if you want to email him at Jack, was it jokeland@aol.com, and stump the joke with him, you know, basically you give him the joke, and hopefully he knows the punchline, which I'm sure he does. So how you doing right now? Who are we speaking to anyway?
John Rivera.
Hi, John.
All right. How about you? How you doing?
How are things in New Jersey, John?
They're all right. They're calming down. You know, people are going nuts over here. But, you know, stay safe and stay at home. You're pretty much all right.
Right.
How's your
right.
toilet paper supply? How are you holding out for toilet paper?
I don't know. My daughter's in charge of that. I really don't
go out there for that. Don't say it's pretty shitty.
yeah.
Well, Joanne, our 15th caller today was going to get a square of Charmin toilet paper, just one square. So our 15th caller, you can call in at 646-478-0999 and get a chance to win one square of Charmin toilet paper.
Yeah, one sheet.
One sheet.
Well, John, I hope we didn't disappoint you. I'm so sorry. Jackie, he wasn't feeling up to doing the show, considering what's going on.
Oh,
so.
That's all right. Mm-hmm.
But he'll be back. He'll be back. He promised mm-hmm. he'd be back. And, you know, and he is a pisser. We know that. So are you a big fan? Have you followed him? You go to a lot of his shows?
I haven't been to any of his shows. I haven't listened to his shows in a while. I used to have Sirius Radio, but I cut it off quite a while ago.
Yeah, well, he's got a new book.
It's cool, but it's getting too repetitive.
Right. Well, I haven't listened to Howard in years, but Jackie has a new book out called The Joke Man, Bow to Stern. Mm-hmm. It's his autobiography about his life, and they're doing a documentary as well called The Joke Man.
I heard that. They're
going
to make a movie as soon as this stuff is over.
Yeah, so that should be cool, and I'm sure when he comes back, we can talk more about that, too. So where in Jersey are you, by the way?
In Kearney.
Kearney?
Oh.
my next to my
right
own
down the street.
Brand. Yeah, in Harrison. I'm from Harrison. You know that, right?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm originally from Harrison.
I got looked up with you because one of our, what do you call, links is that, I think you know Mike Caputo.
Mike Caputo.
Or maybe I'm wrong. I used to be in a band called The Royal Scam.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Oh, John, I'm sorry. I don't recall. I apologize. It doesn't mean you weren't good. I just don't remember. A lot going on lately. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Doug. What year did you graduate?
I graduated from high school in 76.
Oh, God. You're my sister's age. Okay. So, yeah, no, I wouldn't. My sister Patty, you're her age, yeah. So I probably might not know that band then. You're a little bit older than me.
Oh, that's all right.
no problem at all. I'm just saying that's probably why the name's not ringing a bell to me, because they're a little older than me. You were hanging out with my sister's crowd around then. So, but are you still playing? You're still a musician?
No, I'm not a musician. My brother is, but not me.
Oh, I thought you were in the band. So.
No. My brother's a musician. He still plays. I don't know if you know this place called the Eagles in Kearney.
No, I haven't been that way in a while, unfortunately. But are you home from work? Or are you considered an essential employee?
I was laid off about a week and a half ago.
Oh, man. What? You work for what?
Rutherford Taxi.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm sure you were laid off because of the virus, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't go in the week before that anyway. I was sort of afraid to go in anyway.
Yeah, well, everybody's afraid to do anything, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm afraid to go to work, too, but I got to go. What am I going to do? I'm in the financial industry, and they're saying we're essential, unfortunately, and I'm not too thrilled about it, but... What am I going to do? And But, yeah, well, I'm so sorry that Jackie, that you missed Jackie, but he will be back. If you follow us on Facebook, you'll see the posting of when he'll be on the show. And
I'll be calling in more often. You got some good guests on there.
We go crazy to try and get our guests. We want to get people that everybody remembers and grew up with, and we call the show Applause Radio Show because we want to give these folks the applause they deserve. And, you know, without them, we wouldn't have the music that we had our whole lives and our actors and everything. I mean, you know, nowadays everything is just so different, you know? And I don't know, I had posted something on Facebook that, I mean, this is just my opinion, means nothing, trust me, that I think this whole coronavirus is a way of telling us all to slow the hell down. The world is moving too fast.
You.
Slow down and just, you know, let's you know, we're imploding. Relax.
Sure.
I haven't
had a decent week off in over 8 years now.
And there you go. And guess what? Since you got laid off because of the virus, you're going to get some money, so that's good.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Hopefully it comes real soon.
Hopefully it comes sooner than later, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, John, for the call.
Yes. John, we appreciate you calling.
No problem. Really good to hear your voice.
Yeah, thanks for being
a
listener. We love it. Yeah, we love it. So thank you so much.
Right,
you're
take
welcome.
Care, John.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, take care. Stay safe. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Stay home.
You too.
Okay, honey. All right.
You
talk to
you
soon.
Bye bye now.
Take care.
Yeah, take care.
Okay. Bye bye. Oh
bye-bye.
Boy. Yeah, it's crazy. It's just crazy what's going on, you know. But you know, we've got an outpouring of celebrities and musicians that want to join us in the month of April. That you know, we want to keep things normal. So they're going to come on, and we're just going to reminisce about some great times in our past, our music loves, our actor loves. We've got some amazing guests coming on in April, and it's going to be fantastic. And what do we have Sunday, by the way? We have a couple of guys coming from Foreigner and Chicago, which is going to be fantastic. We'll be posting that up on Facebook very soon. And April, I mean, I can just tell you, like, my God, the first week is B.B. Buell, Rick Levy, and Jeff Howe from Foghat. I mean, we've got some amazing, amazing people coming up for you guys in the month of April. So that's just to name a few. So let's see, is Jimmy joining us yet, John? Let's see if Jimmy's on the line here. I know John's talking to someone, so. But let's see. Where is he at? Okay. All right, folks. So if you guys want to call just to shoot the shit, please feel free to call.
I will put you on to.
Hello?
Hey, Joanne. We have Jimmy on the line. Jimmy's on the phone.
Mr. Clinton, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well under the conditions that we're all living under.
Yes, exactly. Well, we appreciate you calling. Thank you so much and joining us on the show. It is an absolute pleasure, I have to say. And
thank you.
I have to say thank you for continuing to still going out there and performing. I mean, when your voice, when you still got it, you may as well deal with it, you know?
Well, I've been blessed with my health. And with my voice, so that's the reason I'm doing shows. And you know, how much longer, I don't know, another year or two, I'm not sure, you know.
Right. Well, you've had
you
some
sound
amazing.
Great.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Thank
I
you.
Mean, you've had some amazing hits. I just want to be sure. Just a Dream. Is that the Just a Dream? Just a Dream. Is that the one?
Yeah, I didn't know there was another.
No, that's why I wanted to be sure if there was another. I wasn't sure either. I wanted to be sure. And, of course, one of your most famous is Venus in Blue Jeans. I love that song. I mean, we've all had a Venus in Blue Jeans. I mean, you know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. But you started your career in high school. How old were you when you started this, the Rockets?
Well, actually, I had a little band by the time I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
Called the Dixie Cats. We just had a few guys to get together. But I really got into it more, shall we say, to another level of professionalism by the time I was a senior in high school, and I was I practiced a lot and played a lot, and by the time I guess I barely made 18, and I take it back, my late 17s, a fella came to me a little older than me, and he had a group, and he had contracts with dance clubs all along the Gulf Coast that he had a little band, but he had always realized that the music was changing from easy sound jazz to what we call a swamp pop, rock and roll, rhythm and blues along the Gulf Coast. And he realized he needed a guitar player. Well, word had gotten out, and it was true that I was probably the best white kid rock and roll guitar player in all of Baton Rouge. And he came to me, and he made me an offer to play music with the group. And so I did that just on the weekends. And by the time I turned 18, to where in Louisiana at 18 you can go into a place that serves alcohol. So by the time I turned 18, I was already with a group, and we called the group the Rock, and began to play along the Gulf Coast, and became really the most popular white rhythm and blues rock and roll group in during that time. And so that's how the group came together, and that's how I got started.
Yeah, because not many white singers came out of New Orleans at the time.
Well, that's very true. You know, most of the music that that I followed that was well known was by the black artists, you know, along the Gulf Coast.
And,
or whoever made records at that time. At that time, it was Fats Domino, the early days of Lloyd Price, the early days of Little Richard, and some local black artists. And I was probably, I think I was the very first white artist to make a record and to have a what we call a swamp pop, a Louisiana sound, and at that time in 1958, the early part of 1958.
Who would you say kind of influenced you as a teen and when you were growing up to do the band and want to play guitar?
Well, actually, I started getting interested in the guitar from country music. Because that was played a lot on the local FM radio station. But then when I discovered people like Fats Domino and Ray Charles, and I started following that rhythm and blues sound, and so that's how I focused my guitar playing. It's very interesting in how I started singing. I had played in this one group before I got with the Rockets, and it was kind of a jazz band, and I just played guitar. And one night, this is out of context, but I overheard part of this conversation, and the band leader said to this other guy, he said, well, I pay him $5 a night more because he sings. Yeah. And for whatever reason, I never forgot that. I never forgot that. So we got with the Rockets because he hired me to be a guitar player, and the piano player, he's the one that did most of the singing. And he was okay, but he didn't really have a great, great singing voice for the music that we played. And so one day I went to him because I remembered what that other band leader had said about getting $5 more. So I kind of, tongue-in-cheek, went to him and I said, Dick, I said, look, I said, you know, you're doing all the singing on a four-hour gig. I said, man, you're going to get hoarse, you know, if you lose your voice. I said, I wouldn't mind helping you out and doing a song or two. I said, with the other band I played with, the guy that sang, he would do some singing. He got $5 a night more, a little extra. So he kind of hummed around. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, we'll just see. We'll give it a try. So I'll never forget the first song that I learned when he told me he was going to let me do a song. And, you know, we'd see if I would start making. Because can you imagine how far $5 went in late 1957.
Well, I was going to ask you what was the payment for the gig without the $5.
Without the $5, I made I think like $25.
Wow! Well, yeah, a lot of money back then. So
yeah, for a 4-hour gig, but you know, so an extra $5. So the Neville brothers were well-known black artists down there in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the brothers, Arthur Neville, recorded a song called Ooh Wee Baby.
Mm.
I'll never forget it. So I learned it, and I told Dick, I said, I'm ready to, you know, to do my song. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for y'all. I'm going to do a little bit of Ooh Wee Baby. You ready?
Good.
Well, I can see y'all are really excited about this.
Let's go. I'm waiting. You get it? I'm waiting.
I'm waiting. So I went over to Dick. I said, I'm ready for you for my tryout, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll never, it was unreal, unbelievable, because this is like late 1957, and we played a nightclub there called the Wagon. What was that club across the river? Not the Wagon Wheel. Well, anyway, it was across the river. It was a typical swamp pop type rock and roll where they danced, you know. So I went up to the microphone, and I did this song, and everybody stopped dancing, and everybody just started gravitating up to the front of the stage. And the stage was up above the bar, so everybody was looking up. And I don't know why I remember this, but it just was so poignant.
Well, you stopped talking.
Two guys were the first ones down, and they were standing right there looking straight up at me. A lot of girls, like everybody was just listening to me. And I could read what the guy was saying. I read his lips. And he turned to the guy next to him. He said, why? He said, wow, that kid can sing. And I thought, whoa, maybe I'm onto something, you know. So I hooked it up, and the song went, ooh wee, baby, I love you so. Ooh wee, baby, don't ever let me go. Fool that I am. To think you could love me too. Da, 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 da. That's how the horns went down. Ooh, wee, baby. Don't want no one but you. So I did that song, and the people went wild.
Was the audience majority of black or no? It was mixed.
Oh, no. No, not in that day. No. It was all white.
Okay.
This is 1957.
There was a black artist you were singing, so they must have been shocked. First of all, you sounded
There was black artists could come play music, but they could not go down into the audience and mingle. Let's put it that way.
Well, that sounded wonderful. I loved it. Thank you so much. It gave me chills. My hair is standing
up.
So
that's what started it. So then I started learning more and more songs, and the next thing you know, within a short period of time, I was co-owner of the band, because as far as singing, I was definitely the most popular member of the band. It was called the Rockets.
And another rarity about you is that you also wrote a lot of your own songs, which was kind of unheard of at the time, too. So,
well, that was something that came about in a very strange way, is because we were in a club, we were finishing the gig, and a girl that kind of a waitress came over. And she had told the owner, she had told the piano player, she said, you know, I know this other band, and they said, Jimmy and Dick, they said, 90 miles from here in New Orleans, we lived in Baton Rouge, they said, there's a little recording studio there, and for $25, they'll let you record an hour for a whole hour, and you guys can get a chance to hear what your band sounds like, you know?
Nice.
And so Dick came to me. He said, we're going to do that. What do you think? I said, okay, cool. But still, he did most of the singing. He was still primarily the head of the band. So we go down to New Orleans. Now, we found out years later that this was the iconic recording studio for all of the South down there. We didn't know that. But that's where the big names recorded. So we're recording these songs that Dick had written, new songs. And so he said, okay, that's it. And all of a sudden, this sounds like a script from Happy Days, but this is exactly what happened. So the engineer comes over the microphone. He said, look, he said, you don't have anything else? He said, you paid for an additional 6 more minutes. You don't have anything else? And Dick said, well, no. And all of a sudden, he looked over at me. He said, Jimmy, you got anything? Well, ironically, now this is before the day that any little recording device had been invented.
Yeah.
You know, little hand recorders. None of that had been invented in 1957.
Right.
And so I got this little song I wrote, and I was going with my girlfriend, my first love, and she and I were having a lot of arguments. And I ended up writing this little song. It turned out to be about her, and it was a typical Louisiana swap type song called I Trusted You. I trusted you for such a long, long time, and now you're telling me bye-bye. So what'll I do? I'm so blue. I trusted you.
Yeah.
In 6 minutes, I recorded it. So we go back to Baton Rouge. And about 10 days later, I get a long-distance phone call. And this man gets on the phone, and it's the recording artist, a recording studio engineer. He said, Jimmy, he said, I've got a man here that'd like to talk to you about that song that you recorded here when you were with the Rockets here. And he got on the phone, and in a real Mississippi accent, he said, Jimmy, he said, my name is Johnny Vincent, and he said, I own a record company called Ace Records. And he said, I just happened to come into the studio the other day, and he said, I heard the playback of this song that you'd recorded with your band. And he said, you know, he said, I like the sound of it. I like the way you did it. And it was really like a Louisiana sound of the modern day. He said, I'd like to talk to you about that. He said, could you possibly drive here to New Orleans and meet with me? And I didn't think any more of about it, so I did. I drove to New Orleans, and the bottom line was, he said to me, he said, I'd like for you to record that song on my label.
Nice.
And I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, now, I don't want the band. He said, I just want you as an individual artist. I said, well, I don't want to quit my band. He said, oh, you don't have to quit your band. He said, but I want Jimmy Clinton as an individual artist.
Right.
So I said, okay. So I ended up going back to the studio because he wanted to re-record it with the professional musicians from the South down there. So I ended up recording that song.
How did the guys take it in the band when you told them that you didn't want that they didn't want the band, they just wanted you?
Well, what I said to him was, I said he just wanted to sign me as an artist. And I said, it'll be great for our band. I said, because nobody else that anybody in Baton Rouge has ever made a record. And so my record will be known. And, you know, me and you guys of the Rockets, we'll get bookings left and right. How could you turn that? And that's exactly what happened.
Good.
I mean,
good.
For every booking we had to turn down three or four, you know.
Good.
So for about 3 months, that's and it was played on the local radio station. They were, and so you know we were like, wow, we've really arrived, you know. So all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, after about 3 months, I get a call from Johnny Vincent, and he said, you know what? He said that's done well, and the people have heard it, they liked it. He said, it's time we do something new. He said, you got anything else you wrote? I went, what? Well, you know, I hadn't written any more songs, for heaven's sake. He said, well, we need to get in the studio and do some more. He said, and so, lo and behold, you know, it's a good thing I'm a Christian, because I really believe God was behind this, because I went to my house and I started knocking out songs left and right without any problem. And I was a master guitar player, so I knew how to write beautiful love song melodies because I was such a good guitar player, and I knew how to write the melodies, you know. And so I wrote a bunch of different songs, and so it's time to record. And I'll never forget this. I go to the studio, and we record two or three of the different songs, and then I come to this one song, a love song, and so we recorded it. And when we finished it, recording, the saxophone player looked over at me, and without any hesitation, he said, that's a hit. And it was just a dream. So the next thing I know, I get a call from Johnny Vincent. It was April of 1958. Am I going too long with all of this?
No, I just wanted to ask you if you wanted to take a caller. Would you like
we
to
We do have
hear
a caller.
From...
Oh, is that the kind
Steve.
Of thing we're doing?
So
in April
of
1958, I made an appearance on American Bandstand. And the next day, the record company got orders for like 100,000 copies. And that absolutely catapulted my career overnight from being on American Bandstand singing Just a Dream.
Well,
and yes, we can take calls.
Excellent.
Okay, Steve.
Am I on?
Yeah,
you're on, Steve.
Jimmy Steve Cannon, how are you?
Oh,
hey there,
Mr.
Steve.
How are
hey,
you?
Hey, buddy. It's been, well, we are neighbors about 2 hours apart. I live up in Scranton, and he's down by Amish country. Anyway,
right.
That happened in 1958, and 1 year later, in 1959, you did one of the better rock and roll movies of that era called Go Johnny Go. And you worked with the man who originated the phrase rock and roll. What was it
correct.
Like working with Alan Freed?
That is correct, yeah. Well, what had happened is once Just a Dream became such an overnight hit, and I signed with a major booking agency, and within no time at all, New York was such a hotbed for the rock and roll and the sound of the day. And so Alan Freed saw me, saw a picture of me, he heard the song, he loved the song, and he booked me on his show. And so the next thing you know, I became a very close friend of Alan Freed, and I did all of his Brooklyn Paramount, Brooklyn Fox, all of these different New York shows. And so I was backstage at a show, and he walked over to me out of the clear blue one day in early 1959, and he said, Jimmy, I'm getting ready to go to Hollywood. He said, I'm going to produce my I don't know if he said my last rock and roll movie, but he told me a little bit about the story, and he said, I'd like you to play the lead. And so that's how that came about. And so Alan Freed gave me the lead in the rock and roll movie. Incidentally, a lot of people don't know this, but the movie was supposed to be titled Johnny Melody. And even my script, which, by the way, is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, my original script on the front, it says Johnny Melody. But right simultaneously with going to Hollywood to shoot the movie, Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode came out. And so that became such a huge hit that Alan Freed wanted to use that as the intro song for the movie, and that's the reason he changed the title to Go Johnny Go.
Right.
What was it like for a kid from Baton Rouge to be working at the Brooklyn Paramount?
Well, I will admit, it was absolutely a life-changing and a learning curve, because going from Baton Rouge to any other major city in the other part of the world was like going to Venus or Mars. I mean, you got to remember back in that day, you know, you only had AM radio. You had no major television to where you connected with the rest of the world. So I just knew what was going on locally in my area. So when I went up to these big cities, I'm telling you, I had to take it very slowly to get used to all of the applause, to the reception I got, to my hairdo, which became a very, very big thing with people all over the United States. And I found out, and I say this very humbly, I found out as I began to travel that the girls considered me a real good-looking kid, and that was just something I was not aware of, because when I grew up in Baton Rouge, all of the guys in my high school, we were all good-looking guys. All of the girls were good-looking girls, and so none of us stood out from the rest. But I guess, you know, being a good-looking kid who could sing really, really did it. And so it was something that I had to get used to. But I became acclimated pretty quickly,
you know,
being on the stage and traveling around America.
Exactly. By the way, for folks listening, the gentleman who's calling, his name is Steve Cannon, and he is a famous DJ from Ohio, and he also has his own show. Steve, what's the name of the show, hon?
Well, the show is called Theater of the Mind. I am also in Ohio known as the King of Trivia. So what I do is I introduce great old radio shows like Gunsmoke or Dragnet, and then I do some trivia or other related information about the program following that, and that's done on a station out of Marion, Ohio.
Cool. Very nice. Well, see,
hey, listen. Go ahead. Joe, thank you. Joanne, thank you for letting me come on. I appreciate it.
I wanted to say thank you for introducing us to Jimmy as well.
Well, indeed. And Jimmy, you stay healthy and stay well, and I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
You too.
Okay, my friend, my pleasure. Take care.
Take care, bud. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
All right. So now, you've got all the success. You get drafted into the Army. What happens? Do you get the same thing that Elvis got? I mean, was your career still thriving while you're in the Army, or no?
Well, yeah. The thing is, you know, you go into the Army like that, and you're not connected to the rest of the world. You're
right.
Connected to the Army.
I mean,
but I'll admit,
you know, he had movies playing while he was in the Army. What did they do for you as promotion? I mean, were you still?
Well, I don't know, because by the time I get in from my jobs at 5 o'clock, I was dead tired. I did not connect with the rest of the world. I didn't listen to the radio. I don't know what was going on in music. I didn't keep up with any of it, you know. I was dog tired by the time I would come in from doing the things I was doing in the Army.
Well, where were you stationed, Jimmy? Where were you stationed?
Actually, I never had to go overseas. I was in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. For basic training, and then I went to Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Nice. So good. You didn't leave the country. That's good. That's good.
But I think the interesting thing as far as the people with a career is that I got discharged, and the first thing I did was I called my record company.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Johnny, I said, do we have anything in the can? And
nice.
He said, we got this one song. He said it was just a throwaway song. And he said, I don't know if you need – I'm going to get a little water here. Hold on one second.
Yeah. Because I wanted to ask you if you wrote Venus in Blue Jeans, but I guess we're going to find that out now.
Yes.
And,
so
yeah.
He said we've got this one song in the can. I did not write Venus in Blue Jeans. Two other writers wrote it, but I had liked the song. And so it was considered not the major song of the session, but it was the only thing we had in the can. And so Johnny Vincent said, "What do you want to come in and re-record?" I said, "No, let's just put that out. And, you know, we'll go from there." And lo and behold, so he released them. I got out of the service, I think it was late 61. And so Venus came out in early 1962. And my gosh, lo and behold, it became a smash hit literally overnight. So I was back on the charts. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, great, great. And then you had a little stint as a DJ. How'd you like that?
Well, you know, once the British invasion hit, it pretty much stymied a lot of the rock and roll oldies doo-wop sound for a while there. And I was doing shows, but I had moved up to the Amish country in Lancaster, PA. That's a long story. And so I would do club gigs along the East Coast. And so, but mostly just on the weekend. And so a friend of mine called and started telling me about this new radio station that had changed its format to 50s. And he said, you know, Jimmy, because you are so well known and you know so many people, he said, if we would just tailor make a little 2-hour show for you in the morning, he said, would you during the week? And then, you know, that way, even if you wanted to do other things in the evening. And so I said, you know, that sounds like fun. And so it wasn't exactly a DJ so much as it was what would you call it? A talk show, yeah, a talk show. And so I would call some of the artists that I knew and do interviews with them, you know.
Sort of like what we're doing.
Yeah, so yeah. I'd call Frankie Avalon, Brenda Lee, and people that I knew. You know, from doing shows over the years. And so I did that for about a year. Mm. And then that radio station changed around. And so, but I only did that for about maybe a year. Yeah.
Well, did you enjoy it, though? You liked it. I mean, you're basically.
I really did, because obviously the people that called in enjoyed, still loved that music. And I was a walking encyclopedia because I was part of it. And so I knew everybody, and I knew all the stories, and I knew all of the background of the artist and the people that recorded and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, I had so much of a background. And so people loved that, you know.
Right. That's great. So now, what are we doing nowadays? I know you're still performing, so obviously not now with everything that's going on. Everything's been canceled, but where can folks find out when and where you're performing when everything gets back
well,
up?
Well, I have a really a million-dollar website, jimmyclanton.com. Mm. A great gal friend of mine, Carolyn Otworth, put it together. And it's jimmyclanton.com, and it's just absolutely well put, and everybody can keep up with going on with Jimmy Clanton. You can order my product. You can sign my guest book. And then I have two major Facebook pages. I've got Jimmy Clanton, and then I've got James Reed Clanton, because, as you know, in Facebook, you can only have 5,000 per page. And
right.
So I had to start a second page. So I've got Facebook, and I interact with my fans there. And then I have a specific page called the Jimmy Clanton Group, and that's people that are really just Jimmy Clanton, no other artists. We just talk about Jimmy, his career, and we can talk about my shows and my music. And so I interact there. So Facebook is a major, major player in my career at this point, you know, and of course that's how everybody can keep up with me. They can keep up with where I'm going to be and all that kind of good stuff.
Right. I did
and I am working on my autobiography.
Oh,
I really
great.
Am. Yeah.
You should. Yeah.
So hopefully that'll be forthcoming. And but in the meantime, as you say, you know, like everybody else, I'm just kind of hunkered down.
Right.
And you know, I keep up with Facebook the way it is. And I'm sure there are a few Christians that listen to your program.
Yeah.
And I'm a very, very big-time committed Christian. I am truly born again. And I even have a ministry page called Jimmy Clanton Ministry
really?
On Facebook where I minister. I give out Bible scripture. I happen to be very, very Bible knowledgeable in the scriptures. That's
very
a long
nice.
Story. And so, yes, I'm very, very, very well acquainted with all of the Bible. I can connect.
You are all over the place. That's great.
So that's what I do, you know. Yeah.
Good. I did want to ask you, I just came to my mind, the video that I posted on Facebook for Venus in Blue Jeans, how did you wind up with Rob Reiner introducing the band? Introducing you, I should say. Carl Reiner, I'm sorry. Is it Carl, right? Wasn't it him? I could have swore it was him that introduced you on that video.
Are you talking about the PBS Venus Blue Jeans?
I don't know. I posted a video of Venus in Blue Jeans, and a gentleman introduced the band. Well,
that's probably there's a promoter named Rob Albanese.
It looks just like Rob Reiner, the impressionist. He's a comedian. It looks just like him. That's who I thought.
Well,
it was.
then you posted some from one of my shows where I sang Venus, and so I would not have any idea who that the master of ceremonies was for that particular show.
You know what? Actually, Jimmy, I may be thinking of something else I posted. I apologize. I've been posting so much stuff for the show. I might have confused myself. I'm so sorry.
All right.
But,
okay.
Listen, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to get to know you. And please tell Sandy, I thank her from the bottom of my heart for everything as well. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Joanne.
Sandy's the brains.
It's been our pleasure.
Yeah, Sandy's the brains behind the brawn. I'm going to say it, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's always the way it is.
Yes. Well, listen, to both of you, please stay safe, stay healthy, stay home.
Thank you.
And we'll all be okay. And I thank you so much. I will post up on Facebook where you guys can listen back to the interview. And it's always a pleasure, and you're more than welcome to come back anytime you like.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. Take care, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Bye,
Good
guys.
Night.
Bye.
Good night, guys.
Oh, that was nice. He's a nice guy. Oh, my goodness. What a career, huh? What a story he's got.
Wow.
All for an
you don't realize how many people he knew. You know,
right,
he is a walking encyclopedia.
Right, but can you believe all for $5? That's how he became a singer. If they weren't paying that extra $5, you know, he may have always been a guitar player. I did.
But I was thinking, Joanne, the sad part of it is when my cover band used to play maybe 10 years ago, we were still making the same amount each.
Oh, goodness.
Times haven't changed.
Oh, man. I don't know. I never made 25. I made more than that. Oh, my God.
Well, depends where you played. You know, sometimes you'd have to pay the places to have you play.
Exactly. And sell tickets, too. So, but we're running short. So, real quick, thank you to our guest, Jackie the Joke Man Martling. He'll be back. And Jimmy Clanton, what a pleasure for both of you guys. Thank you to our sponsors, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. Get there and get your to-go packages. And Precious Memory Video in Kintnersville, Pennsylvania. KWV Wines in South Africa. John, thank you as always. You know I love you. And Sunday, the 29th, we have two gentlemen, one from Foreigner and one from Chicago. Their names are not written here. I apologize. It's in my email, so I will post that. But can't wait. But, again, everybody just stay safe, healthy, and stay home, and we'll be okay. Anything you
Sounds
want to add?
Good.
To? Have you got anything to announce?
No.
Or?
No, I think, well, we didn't get our 15 caller to win that sheet of the Charmin toilet paper, but we'll try again on Sunday. Maybe we'll have better luck.
I'll have to post it. Should we offer to give away a roll of toilet paper?
Then you're pushing it. That's being too generous, Joanne.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, but all right, folks, I guess we're out. So thanks for listening to Applause Radio Show. We love you guys. Everybody stay safe, healthy, and stay home. I mean, I can't say it enough. And hopefully I'll be able to get into work tomorrow if I'm back at the 98.6 temp. So anyway, I am fine. Don't worry. Everybody's like calling me. Are you okay? Yes, it's only my temperature is only 99.4. It's fine. Don't worry. You know, I'll be fine. So, but thank you all. Can't wait for Sunday.
Sounds like a good show on Sunday. Two of my favorite bands.
Me too. I can't wait. I cannot wait. So we will see you guys on Sunday, and thanks for listening, and it's always a pleasure, and we appreciate it. Oh, and we've just been added to, Realm of the Mist. It's a radio station, I believe, in Memphis. I have to confirm that. But we just got syndicated out to another radio station, so that's pretty cool. That's exciting.
That's really nice.
Even more listeners, which we love. So we love you all. Keep listening. Call, listen. We love talking to you, and, you know, you're part of the show, so give us a call. And always give us a call, 646-478-0999. And thanks for listening to Applause Radio Show. All right, Johnny boy.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night. Peace out. Take care.